This is not a very popular subject I'm going to preach tonight, but it's a needed subject, and I'm not known for preaching many popular subjects. So we'll just do what we got to do. Amen. But in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." So what we're talking about tonight is sustaining God's man, taking care of God's man. And here God said, "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And of course, when he gets to the brook there, well, the ravens obey the Lord. And the ravens come in the morning, they come in the evening, give him flesh and bread to eat. But in verse 7, it says, "It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, God starts out taking care of Elijah with a raven. And the prospects of that's pretty slim, amen. But I heard a preacher preach one time, said he'd fly over and take a steak off Ahab's table and fly it over to Elijah, you know, feed Elijah with Ahab's steak. I don't know if that's true or not. But God doesn't have any trouble taking care of his man. I got a friend down in Houston, I mentioned the other night, Jack Woods, and he spent some time down in Paraguay doing some mission work, and he went with no support. He just went just because God, he just felt like God wanted him down there, so he went, and he said they spent some hungry days there, and he was rounding cows up and rounding horses up, just wild horses and cows, and he came upon this trail, and this came over around a curve, and there was a hoop of cheese just laying, I mean, in the middle of the jungle, a hoop of cheese. And he said, God knows where his preachers are, and God knows how to take care of his preachers. And so God doesn't have any trouble with that. But there's a need here tonight among our people, among me and among you. And as we read here, God says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, there's a standing joke nowadays, if you want to make it, you know, if you're a middle-aged man and you're single or divorced or whatever, find you a widow woman because she's got money. A lot of them, you know, they've got their old man's kicked off, and he's got all these CDs and IRAs and everything else, and they say, "Well, you'll have to make, just marry your widow woman." Well, back in these days, it wasn't like that. When God said, "There's a widow woman there, and she's going to sustain thee," Elijah knew that the prospects were very slim. But it beat the raven. Amen. So he said, "Well, I trusted God for the ravens, and he took care of me." So here God says, "All right, you go to Zarephath, and I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, not only were the prospects slim, he might have had a little hope that she might have had a little, you know, stash somewhere, and she had some way to take care of it. But when he came and found her gathering sticks, I mean, that's not something rich people did back then. And so he knew he's in trouble. Verse 11, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now, I'm going to try tonight to be a blessing to you and to let you see that there was a need here. But as we read on down, the need was not Elijah's need. The need was the widow woman. She had a need. And as God commanded that widow woman there to sustain him. Elijah just followed God and told and went where God told him to go. And at here he comes to this widow woman, and he has the audacity. I don't know how old the lady was or anything, or what kind of condition she was in. But Elijah said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." I mean, the very idea for him to get come to this woman, however old she was, and say, "Would you get me a drink of water?" And she was out there gathering sticks, and I'm sure it was hot, and I'm sure she was working hard here. And then he has the audacity to come and say, "Would you go get me a drink of water?" Well, the Bible does say that there's a promise to somebody that'll give a cup of water in the name of a prophet or in the name of somebody like that. And there is a blessing there, taking care of the man of God. And folks around these parts knew who Elijah was, and I'm sure this widow woman did. And so she went to get it. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." I mean, it wasn't bad enough for him to send her off to get a drink of water. But as she turned around and was headed for the drink of water, he said, "Oh, by the way," he said, "I need a piece of bread, too. Would you give me a piece of bread?" And you're talking about nerve. Now, here's a preacher telling a widow woman that we find out later is supposedly having her last meal. And he says, "Would you go get me a drink of water?" And then he says, "While you're on your way, would you give me some bread? I'm hungry." Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about sustaining God's man, taking care of God's man. Now, verse 12, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake." But I want you to notice that "I have not." There's a problem here. We have a pessimistic woman. "I have not." And you hear that all the time in the church. "Well, I just don't have anything to give." Lady last night brought me some popcorn. She had something to give. Had some popcorn. Brought me some popcorn. About 2 or 3 years ago, a man brought me a thing of honey. Back in the old days, they used to bring chickens and eggs and different things to take care of the man of God. That's just how they did it back then. And I was reading a book by Art Linkletter today about the kids. You know, kids say the whatever he says things, you know. And Art Linkletter said his dad was an evangelist and just traveled around, and Art Linkletter took the offerings. Just a little bitty old kid, and he took the offerings. He said he got to where he could almost guess about how much money would be in the pot. But that's the way that his dad was taken care of. So, I'm not preaching about taking care of me or whatever, but I'm just talking about taking care of the man of God. And there's a need to take care of the man of God, but I want you to see here in this passage who had the bigger need, who had the greatest need. She said, "I have not. I just don't have anything to give." And most of the time when people say that, they have something to give. It may be small. Sometimes it may be large. Amen. Sometimes it may be a sacrifice. Sometimes it might be out of their abundance. I've seen rich people say, "Well, I just don't have anything." I said, "Come on, man. You don't have anything. You've got something." Amen. Everybody has something they can give. That old Christmas song, the drummer boy. He didn't have anything, but he said, "I'll play my drum." He had something he could give. He said, "I'll play my drum for the Lord. I'll play my drum." And so there's something that you can give. And this lady, she said, "I have not a cake." She said, "I don't have a cake. I don't have anything. I'm bad off, and I don't have things that the other people have." But then in the next phrase, she said, "But a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse." She says, "I don't have anything." And then she says, "Well, I do have a little meal, and I do have a little oil. Enough to make a cake." Isn't that a coincidence? That's what he wanted. He said, "Would you give me a cake?" She said, "Well, I don't have anything." And then she turns around, she says, "Well, I do have a little a handful of meal, and I do have a little oil. But listen, at the pessimism. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. How long does it take to get two sticks? I'm gathering two sticks. I mean, most people make it look real bad. Oh, brother, you don't know how bad it is. I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Boy, what pessimism. She said, Elijah, you don't know how bad it is around our house. She said, as a matter of fact, she said, I was going to go out and gather two sticks, and I've got a handful of meal and a little oil and cruise, and this was our last meal. This is it, Elijah. I mean, it's not like they're going to wait till the next payday. I mean, this is it. There's no hope of another meal. Now, there's no hope for another payday. I mean, she said, Elijah, we're going to gather this. We're going to make this cake. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. What pessimism. But to hear some people talk, that's what it is. Amen. Yeah. Now, listen, y'all might as well smile. I'm not going to take an offering. Amen. Might as well smile. I'm talking about a need here. And Elijah comes here and he's had the ravens feeding him and the brook to bring his water. And he's just been sitting around in a bed of ease, if you will. And then after the brook dries up, he says, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee in Zarephath. And so Elijah goes there. Elijah has a need. But he meets a widow woman that has a greater need than he does. You say, well, what is her need? Well, let's read in verse 13. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Now, if I was preparing my last meal, I believe I might be scared a little bit. But he said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Are you talking about nerve? Here's a preacher, a grown man, independent, and he finds a widow woman that just comes out and says, we're having our last meal, this is all I have, and he's already told her to get him a drink of water, and then he orders her to get him a cake, and then she tells about how bad she's got it, and they're preparing their last meal for her and her son, and she's a widow woman, and everything's bad, and they're going to eat it and die. And he says, go ahead and fix that cake, lady, but give it to me. Give me the cake, me first. What a blessing. There's a preacher saying, me first. Amen. Y'all are still frowning. I promise, I'm not going to take an offering. Me first. Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. Now, wait a minute. Now, she said she only had enough of one cake. And he said, make me thereof a little cake first, and then make for you and your son. Now, apparently Elijah has something that he hadn't let her know that he's got. Well, he does. He's got the Lord. He's got the promise of God. Now, it says, make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now let's get the story here, let's get the picture. Elijah has been taken care of by God. Now, you say, well, the ravens took care of him. Well, God took care of him. And he used the ravens to do it. And after the brook dried up, I want you to notice, God said, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. That widow knew Elijah was coming. And God had commanded her to take care of him. Now, you would have known that by the conversation that goes on between Elijah and this widow woman. She wasn't willing. Amen. She wasn't willing. It was just a lack of faith on her part. And she saw the resources that she had. And she said, now by the resources that I have, I'm not able. I can't take care of the man of God. I can't do it. But whatever God commands you to do, you can do.
Yes.
You can do whatever God commands you to do. Now, there's a lot of times, you know, I've met people who said, I've met one guy that said, I can't get baptized. He had a was in a wheelchair and could never, I forgot what kind of disease he had, but he couldn't get out of the wheelchair. And he says, I can't get baptized. And we said, well, God wants you to. We showed him where he ought to be baptized. And he said, well, if God says I'm supposed to be baptized, I can get baptized. And so we just took him down the lake and put him in a lawn chair. And with two men just carried him out of the lake. Well, I gave him a lawn chair and dumped him down, brought him out. I mean, if God commands you to do something, you can do it. Amen. Now here, God commanded this widow woman to take care of Elijah. And this woman said, hey, listen, I just had enough here for one cake. And me and my son, we're going to die if we eat this cake. But she was forgetting one thing. She was forgetting God. And she was forgetting the command of God. God had already come to this woman and said, hey, I've got a preacher coming by, and I want you to take care of him. And apparently, indefinitely. Amen. What a blessing. This preacher's going to come by and he's going to mooch off you for indefinitely, amen. I mean, that's just what... And then this preacher comes by, and you think, well, you know what? If he's a nice guy, I could live with it, you know. But he comes by and says, give me a drink of water. And give me a piece of cake. And she says, I don't have any, just one for me and my son, we're going to die. He said, feed me first. What a blessing. I mean, this guy is going to be a real blessing around here. This is a prophet that God has sent by, and he's commanded me to take care of him. And I don't have anything. All he has to do have something. I got a little handful of meal and a little oil and a cruise. What a mess. He said, me first. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. We got a promise. We got a promise from God. He said, if you'll take care of my man, he said, I'll take care of your needs. Now, this is, like I said, this is not a popular thing to preach. Somebody's got to preach it. Amen? Somebody's got to preach it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, you can stop giving in the box tonight for me, because God takes care of me. Amen? God takes care of my needs. God can use a raven. He can use a widow woman, or he can use his church. But he'll use something to take care of me. Amen. Now, there's a fellow passing a church. Pastor Terry Prater was there. And Brother Terry said, Brother, said that pastor wants to have you, but he's just got two or three families, and said, he's scared you can't take care of him. I said, tell Brother Eddie that I'll give him $50 if he'll let me preach a meeting at his church. Amen. I mean, I'd pay to preach. Amen. God takes care of me. And amen. Churches don't hire me. Amen. Churches don't hire me. They don't have to give me anything. God will take care of me. But I'm going to preach this message if it handles the devil. I'm going to preach this message.
Amen.
God said, I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you. Elijah comes and starts bossing around and said, do this, do this, do that. Feed me first. But then he gives her a promise. He said, if you'll do what God's commanded you to do and take care of this preacher, he said, that barrel of meal that you said is just a handful, said it will not fail. He said, until rain comes on the earth, and he said, you'll go there every morning and there'll be something in that barrel. And he said, that oil that you said you just have little cruse of oil, he said, every day from now on until the rain comes, he said, that oil will never go dry until God sends rain upon this earth. He gives her a promise. I want you to keep your place here and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read a verse that every Christian has claimed at one time or the other. Philippians chapter 4, Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how many have ever claimed that verse? I have. Amen. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice in verse 19 there, it starts out with but. Now, he has been saying something else that has led up to this verse. Now, I want you to look in verse 14. He said, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, this word communication is not talking about talking. We'll find out later. It's talking about giving. It's talking about taking care of his needs. He said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Okay, that's proof. Now we're talking about giving and receiving. We're not talking about talking. We're talking about giving and receiving. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity. Now Paul was a preacher. Paul was a missionary. And Paul was taken care of by people who wanted to take care of and be a blessing to him. You say, well, that's freeload. Well, when people didn't do it, Paul built tents. Paul was determined to get the gospel out. Amen. No matter what it took, he was going to get the gospel out. Amen. But I'm telling you what, you can get the gospel out better and faster and more efficient if you can do it with not build tents. Amen. It's hard to build tents and study the Bible. Amen. It's hard to build tents and knock on doors. So, but Paul did whatever he had to do. But listen, he said, for even in Thessalonica, he said once and again into my necessity. Not because I desire gift. I mean, Paul didn't send them letters and said, I need this much and I'm looking to you to send this money. He said, I received these gifts, but he said, I didn't do it just because I desired the gift. He said, I didn't send you any letters. I didn't do anything. He said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now listen, not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody can knock on doors. Not everybody can get behind a pulpit and preach and let people be saved. Not everybody can do that. Some people work jobs. Some people have a salary occupation. Some people have businesses and they can't do that. God hadn't called them to do that. But they also can have fruit. They also can have fruit by taking care of the man of God and providing for his needs, and whatever that man of God brings in, whatever is, however many people are saved, however many people are blessed, however many people are encouraged, however many families are strengthened, and homes brought together, whatever is done by that pastor or that missionary, whatever his ministry, it goes to their account if they've helped him in some kind of financial way. They get the fruit. It bounds to your account. He said, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of the sweet smell, a sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, who gets to claim that promise? Those that take care of the man of God. God says, if you sacrifice to take care of the man of God, I will take care of your needs. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Now, has anyone ever thought about that? Well, sure we have. We've thought about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and all those things. We've thought about that. But God said, don't take any thought about that. He says, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now, what are we talking about here? God says, I feed the sparrows. I take care of the sparrows. How much are sparrows worth? Not much. He said, but I feed them. Can you imagine how much money God will be indebted to somebody to feed the sparrows? That's a lot of bread. That's a lot of corn. Now, whatever they eat, that's a lot of it, of all the sparrows. And God, there's no problem with God. No problem with God. God takes care of them. And says, are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, or wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He said, look at the flowers out in the field, how God clothes them. He said, if God clothes a flower that tomorrow is going to be cut down and cast in the oven, it's just going to wither and die. He said, if God takes care, and listen, God thinks about those things. That's hard for me to imagine, but God actually thinks about taking care of the flowers. He said, now if God thinks about those flowers and what they're wearing, he said, don't you think God's going to think about you and what you're wearing? Says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that, that God actually knows what's going on. God actually knows when we have a need. Listen, when we go to God and say, God, I need something. I have a need, and I'm asking you to... He already knew. He already knew. But he does want you to ask, but he already knew you had a need. Now look at this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Food, raiment, shelter. He said, if you'll put God first, he said, I will take care of all your needs.
Amen.
That's just what God said.
Amen.
Now, you have two choices in that matter. You can believe God, or you can just be an atheist and just don't believe it.
Yeah.
But God said, I do care about you. Yeah. I care about you having food. I care about you having something to wear. He said, but if you'll take care of the kingdom of God, if you'll seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, all these things will be added unto you. Back in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And boy, I like this part. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Many days. I'd like to have been there. Every morning, she reached into that barrel, which she said there was a handful of meal. For many days, she would reach into that barrel, and there would be just enough for Elijah and her son. And she put that, in a little vessel, and get that cruse of oil, and pour it until just the last drop fell out, it seemed like. And it was just enough oil to make another cake, or three cakes, whatever. You think she might have been scared the next morning? I know I scraped the very bottom of the barrel. I know that was the last drop that was hanging on. Well, she went in the next day and reached in that barrel, and it was just enough for three cakes.
Amen.
And she grabbed that cruiser ball and floored, and it was just enough. A little drop trying to fall out and came back in. Just enough. For many days. Now what I'm saying tonight is, Elijah had a need. But this widow woman was preparing her last meal. I honestly believe that was her last meal. That widow woman had the greater need than Elijah did. But when that widow woman put God first and obeyed the commandment of God, then God blessed her and took care of her needs because she put God first. She put God first. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. God's going to keep his word. God's not going to be a debtor to a bunch of bums like us. He's not going to do it. The Bible says that he that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You see, God could, but God don't. Say, for example, brother, if you need a meal, God could. What are you talking about, Jimmy? Huh? You're not going to eat all the bread?
I'm not going to eat all the bread.
Oh.